Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Future Crime and Punishment, specifically brain wipes and, well, lobotomies and soul switchings and, you know, all that stuff. For more information about news and other links we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Hey! Hello, my geeklings! Welcome back to yet another episode of Geeks On!
Peter's gone. The cat will play.
Or, right. We're one...
One geek left, one geek entered.
Kind of. We've kind got of? A guest.
Hello.
That makes sense somewhere. We do have Peter Substitute this week, though.
Yes.
He's Peter Light.
Peter Light or Peter Dark?
I think it's Peter Dark.
That's probably true, actually. So why don't we introduce ourselves so our listeners know who the hell is talking into their heads right now.
Who okay. is this?
My name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek. Hello.
My name is Donald Marshall. I am a writer and video game professional here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Matt King. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek. And
I'm Sunil Malhotra, and I am an actor and filmmaker here in L.A., and I'm a super geek.
Well, so he claims we will explore this evening.
Oh no, what did I step into?
So Sunil actually has never listened to Geeks On.
I am such a geek. I don't know if it's a geek or a dork quality. I just set up my iPod because I realized my tape deck is a little out of date.
You actually have an 8-track player, don't you?
No. Just straight up tape decks, man.
He's a
8-tracks are so yesterday. It's all about getting rid of the tape deck so I can set up my iPod.
This is Sunil, our geek from 1979.
So anybody have a good geek week?
What?
Anything geeky?
I did. I went to an advanced screening of the new film Renaissance.
Renaissance?
From Miramax.
And what is Renaissance?
Well, Renaissance, okay, let's see. What's that awful movie we went to see the other day?
Which one?
The one Scanner Darkly? Stand. Scanner Darkly.
Oh, right? I didn't think it was awful.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, whoa, okay. Whoa. The black is white. Dogs and cats living together. What's going on?
I have never been so bored watching anything in my life.
Wait, Don hates something. Aaron loves it. I don't know.
I didn't love it.
Okay.
The only time in my life I've ever fallen asleep during a movie was during Black Beauty when I was like 6. This movie.
Black Beauty?
Great movie.
Black Beauty.
Oh.
I was 6.
Okay.
It was like a 10:30 show.
I drooled down my sleeve when I watched RoboCop 2. But that's another story.
I'm sorry you even had to watch RoboCop 2.
In the theater.
Okay, so this movie puts Scanner Darkly to shame, all right?
Wait, what?
You mean it's even worse?
It's worse than?
It's better. It's infinitely better.
Oh, okay.
It's everything that Scanner Darkly was kind of marketed to be, in that it's dark, it's interesting. It is a little slow-paced, but the art in it is so superior to Scanner Darkly.
Is it still a cel-shaded animation?
No, well, it's...
Or cel-shaded reality? What is
it's,
that?
It looks like cel-shading on first glance, but it's entirely black and white, okay?
Okay. Huh.
But keep in mind, it's not black and white with shades of gray. Mm-hmm. It is entirely black and white, so every scene is like an animated woodcut. And it's
it looks like a Sim City looking.
It's very Sim. The actual things that I thought of when I was watching it was it's a fusion between Sim City,
Sin City,
because
Sim
me.
City would be like lots of Sims.
It would be something else entirely. It was a cross between Sin City, Scanner Darkly, with a touch of Blade Runner.
If you put vermouth in that, it makes it a really nice cocktail.
Firmly in the cyberpunk genre.
Really,
it is the cyberpunk movie that we were wondering whatever happened to that genre.
Really,
wow.
Yeah, Matt, you will crap bricks when you see this movie.
Really?
I'm so excited.
Is it released now? I haven't heard of
it. It is coming out in September. We are actually going to be interviewing the artistic genius behind this movie.
Oh, we are?
At Comic-Con.
We got some great stuff coming up at Comic-Con. You guys have got to listen for Comic-Con.
Yeah, you're going to have fun listening to the show.
Of course, none of it has to do with comic books.
But
that don't matter. That don't matter.
Renaissance stars Daniel Craig, the new James Bond, Catherine McCormick, Romola Garai, I don't know who that is. Holm and Jonathan Pryce.
Ooh,
wow,
so it's got
a
solid little cast, and the art has to be seen. It's not cell shade. It's not rotoscope. Wow. It's not like they just filmed this and colored over
it. There's some good CGA stuff going on. I just saw Pirates of the Caribbean, and while it was kind of like they loaded four plays into a shotgun and shot it at the wall and kind of found a movie somewhere in there, it was CG marvelous.
Really?
It was CG-tastic.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I hear it's pretty lame, but I kind of want to see it just for the effects. I mean,
there are...
But this one's not so much on the effects. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Style.
It looks like animation. The style's amazing.
Wow.
The only negative comments I'd have on it was, like, I wish the script had been a little more interesting dialogue-wise.
So are there real actors
or even existing?
Sorry.
Imagine it's like motion capture.
Oh, so it's like rotoscoping.
Sort of.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of a new technology. That's one of the big selling points.
Wow.
I'll see it.
You will plots over just the cinematic aspects of it. You will plots over the genre. And you just plots everywhere you go, don't you, Neil?
That was Aaron Matt.
Yeah, pointing at us on a radio show.
Pointing on a radio show? Not so bright?
Okay. That's,
I brought a knife to a gunfight.
Any other geek weeks going on here?
I saw Pirates of the Caribbean, and otherwise I've been building my house.
I'm designing a Lord of the Rings battle game I'm going to post online so everyone can download it and... build it and play it. Ooh.
Didn't you have James Bond news, speaking of Daniel
Craig? I did have James Bond news.
Well, we'll get that to the news
section.
That's
in the news cycle.
Whatever.
God. Why would we do that now?
Y'all suck.
All right. Pirates was
all right, cool cue the music.
Cue the music.
And that was our music.
It's so delightful.
I like having music you can just say to it.
See, that's what happens when you do all the music in post. It's very uneventful when you're actually...
Fantastic.
Sunil's looking at us like, what?
What?
The hell?
I thought they could hear the voices in my head.
Didn't she like the horn section?
All right, who wants to start the news here? How about Don?
Don.
I already started the news with the Renaissance thing. I only have one more.
Okay, how about I start it then? Well, I showed the geeks right before we started the show. There was announced that Half-Life 2 is coming out for the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3.
Okay.
Bundled with Episode 1 and Episode 2, which was being sold separately for the PCs.
Whoa. But Episode 1 of Half-Life...
Two. They're releasing kind of an episodic type of game now, where every couple months you get to download the new part of the story.
A video game soap opera?
It's more like like 24 or a television show.
All right.
I think it's a great idea.
We like to call them serials.
Serials. Exactly. But part of this is this new game called...
Portal. And now that's part of Half-Life?
That's going to be part of the bundle.
So it's a mini game.
Well, we're not exactly sure entirely what it's going to entail. All we saw was a demo, and you guys saw the demo. It's essentially taking this Portal technology that's, for example, in the game Prey that just came out for the Xbox 360, where
it's Wile E. Coyote, where basically you can take the movable hole and put it up against the wall and walk through the hole and come out
from
another
you
place.
You shoot with a gun an exit hole, and then you shoot a entry hole, and when you go through, it pops out another side, and you can do that anywhere. Ceilings,
that demo
floors.
Bugged me out, though.
So there will be a link.
Yeah, it was like video game by MC Escher.
Yeah, I think it's got some great possibilities, especially if they do like a multiplayer of this. It's going to be freaking out of control.
Crazy.
Anyway, we'll put a link to this high definition trailer. You guys have to check it out. It's mind boggling.
When
what
you're passing through the hole, you're looking at the back of your own head.
Yeah.
And think
face
about
as
that.
You're falling.
Yeah, and
that's
an infinite.
Weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. By the way, they also said they might bundle the new Team Fortress class or Team Fortress 2 with it too. The game that we've been waiting for at least I've been waiting for like 13 years. So
Team Fortress 2.
Team Fortress.
Ooh.
You don't remember Team Fortress?
Blank stare.
That was like the original. It was the mod of the original Half-Life, and it was the original multiplayer class system. They had the medic, the mechanic, the spy.
Oh,
it was like the first
one. Right.
And I mean, I used to play that just constantly.
No, I don't remember this.
Oh,
I do remember
it was awesome. So anyway, keep your eyes peeled.
Sunil?
Cool. All right. Well,
hit it, Chewie.
Shall I spill the beans on James Bond, or should I go ahead with something else?
Spill
all right. So I just found this out today. Daniel Craig is already signed for the next James Bond film before the first one has come out.
Okay, so he's now
he is going
number
to be,
two.
He will be. He is ready to go for James Bond number 22.
Whether or not Casino Royale sucks,
He signed. And he's actually, well, he's already slated. Like, they have a director. They're looking at Roger Mitchell is the guy who did Changing Lanes.
Okay.
And he worked with Daniel Craig on another film.
Actually, I saw the trailer, and I really liked it.
I'm looking forward to it.
He
looks like a Bond who could kick some ass, finally.
Here's what I say. Okay. The trailer kicks ass.
The trailer does kick ass.
The movie looks like it's going to be fun. But that last shot in the trailer where they zoom up to him,
he's not Bond.
Not Bond yet. That's not Bond. I'm not sold yet. I gotta say.
But I'm open because the last couple of movies have been so shit.
Yeah.
That really anybody could fucking.
No.
Play.
As much as Bond is gadgets to a certain extent, this looked a little more like Bond is the gadget. It's a little more
old
him as a cool ass spy.
Yeah.
And so I was up in that.
I'm curious to see how they're taking essentially the first book where he becomes the Bond that we all know and love.
Right.
It's almost like they're going temporarily retro, but keeping it in the modern day, world.
They're doing a little Bourne Supremacy in the sense that in the trailer he's just kicking ass all the time, which is very cool.
Yeah. We'll see whether or not the last.
But he needs that. James Bond is also not just kicking ass. He's about charm and charisma, and I'm waiting. I feel like for me the verdict is still out. I gotta wait and see if that's.
Well, the verdict's out for me too. But I have to say this is the first time I've seen a Bond trailer in a long time where I was getting a little excited.
Yeah.
Totally.
And where they didn't drop, where it's like, no, I gave him the boot, and then,
exactly.
Like, oh,
it's like, ugh.
He's actually signed through 2012.
Oy vey.
So I hope you like him, folks.
Not like they can't kill
him. No, of course.
I'm going to give him a chance, but he doesn't look like Bond to me.
Yeah,
exactly. He just physically doesn't
look
like him.
I think he looks probably closer to Sean Connery than the last Bond.
Then
what?
You're crazy.
No, you're out of your mind. Like you are out of your... I just saw Aaron's mind spill on the ground. Hold on. Wait. There it goes.
I think you lost something. We'll see. All right, Matt.
All right. Scientists at the University of Manchester have created a virtual computer world designed to test telepathic ability. The system, which immerses an individual in what looks like a life-size computer game, has been created as part of a joint project between the university's School of Computer Science and the School of Psychological Sciences. There are 100 people who are going to take part in it. They enter a virtual environment by donning a head-mounted 3D display and an electronic glove, which they use to navigate their way through the world. And once inside, participants view a random selection of computer-generated objects. Telephone, football, umbrella, whatever. Person in the first room sees one object at a time, which they're asked to concentrate on and interact with. The person in the other room is simultaneously presented with the same object plus 3 decoy objects. They're then asked to select the object they believe the other participant is trying to transmit to them. Dr. Toby Howard says this system has been designed to overcome the many pitfalls evident in previous studies, which could easily be manipulated by participants to produce an effect which looks like telepathy but is not.
So they can't use the flashcard thing anymore?
They cannot use
a
flashcard.
Because that sounds a lot cheaper.
It's true. Probably $12 million cheaper. By creating a virtual environment, we are creating a complete objective environment which makes it impossible for participants to leave signals or even unconscious clues as to which object they've chosen. We shall see.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wow. Why don't they just put a guy behind a wall?
They've done that and basically said that, they could be giving clues or whatever. In certain ways.
Put them behind a wall and then hold up the card and say, read my mind through the wall.
Right.
And call
I really think
virtual.
They should just follow Bill Murray's example from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, exactly.
The positive.
Wait, no.
3 wavy lines.
Sorry. All right, Don, can we do yours now?
Yeah, okay. I will deign to share my news story with you. Magic Quest's family vacation inside a video game. Long story short, someone has opened a hotel where the entire family can go to play a real-life LARP role-playing game together where they arm you with magic wands that will affect the environment that you're in.
It's a video game?
No, it's an actual live place. I've got a picture here.
What the
So they
hell?
Have like a wand that you like point at a wall and like
Like
the
you point a wand at the
out.
Wall and the wall will turn, revealing the secret passage. Or you point it at the clock and you speed time. or you find the magic chest, you need to wave your wand in the right pattern.
It's like Westworld. It's like they're going to go Westworld. Nuts.
But here's the deal.
Totally
but
like Westworld.
It's not just you. Wait.
So they got a Stonehenge-y thing in the middle.
Hold on. It's not just you running amok with your little magic wand, though. You need to team up with other people to complete the puzzles. You need to cooperate as team units to get all this stuff done.
Where is this?
I don't see where it says here. I didn't see it in the news article.
Oh, there was one launched in Myrtle Beach last summer.
But basically what they're saying right now, it's $2 of play, two hours of play for $14.
Okay.
And you receive a free duel, a $3 value.
Ooh.
Which means they have wand duels.
Oh, God.
It looks sort of Harry Potter-ish to me.
Yeah, until I can blow Alan Rickman off of his ass.
And it looks
that
like
that almost came out a little bad
it
there.
Came out really bad.
But if you pay a little extra money, you can live in the Quest Master Suite while you're there.
Oh.
Where all of the appliances are powered by your wand.
I have one of the test
models
at
home. Don't wave your wand at me, Don.
Akio wallet.
Draw. I would just be waiting for Yul Brynner to like walk through my
door. Yeah, I'm like, telling you though. Shit. That would be a great place to go with your kids though. Come on. Tell me that wouldn't be fun.
It'd be a good place to leave your kids.
It sounds like the way things are set up,
it sounds like it's really genuinely kind of fun for everyone.
And as long as there's activities, if you're just sitting there running around pointing spinning clocks and shit like that.
There are goals and puzzles you have to solve.
Okay. That sounds good.
It sounds interesting.
Here, honey. What happens if like somebody breaks their wand or if they point it at a wall and then some other kid takes it?
Then kill them.
And you're stuck in Stonehenge for the rest of the
time? No, then you go to the wand duel for $3.
Right. Actually, no, you're bigger, so you just step
no,
on
No, Cedric,
them.
You suck.
All right. Yeah.
All right. As a lot of you geeks out there know, that Origins, the board game role playing convention, ended 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And every year there's an Origins Awards that are given out, and this year they were given out. They were nominated and chosen by other game designers.
So this is all the board games?
These are all board games and role-playing games. Let me give you a couple of the categories here. 2005 Game of the Year, War Machine. That's that miniature game.
Oh, okay.
Board Game of the Year, Parthenon, Rise of the Aegean.
I haven't heard of that.
Wait
Traditional
a second.
Card Game of the Year, Gloom. Okay, here.
Oh, I've played Gloom.
You have? I own Gloom, and it's impossible to play because it's such poorly printed. You can't read the effing cards. Do not buy this game, people.
He's doomed it. He's doomed it.
Best role-playing game supplement of the year, GURPS Infinite Worlds.
Yeah, bullshit.
Have you even read it? No.
No.
Can you say that on iPod, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I can say whatever
I want. This competition sponsored by bullshit. Steve Jackson Games.
Exactly. Let's see. Then there was actually the Gamers' Choice Award. This was actually nominated and voted on by the gamers instead of designers. So,
Rift.
Oh, nice.
Gamers' Best Board Game of the Year,
Rift.
Shadows over Camelot. Have they even made a game?
I don't care. It's still the best.
In 2005?
Who are you?
Gamer's Best Choice of Traditional Card Game of the Year, Paranoia, the mandatory card game.
There's a Paranoia card game?
That would be fun.
Just like my kind of game.
Have you ever played Paranoia? Sudio?
I live Paranoia.
Oh, okay.
Gamer's Best Choice Role-Playing of the Year, Serenity. And Gamer's Best Choice Miniature Game of the Year, War Machine. Anyway, there's a lot more categories, and I'll put a link to the Origins Awards and the. But
those of you who aren't familiar with Paranoia, we won't describe it here.
The role playing game.
It's too much. Go out on the internet, check out Paranoia, the role playing game. It is probably one of the funniest games
I've
ever seen.
The new version came out.
You die a lot. A lot.
Well, the new edition came out about 6 months ago, so it's a brand spanking new Paranoia role-playing game.
A lot.
Which I can't endorse because I haven't read it yet, but I will someday.
Right.
Yes. And All you right. die. A lot.
All right.
Kick it, Sunil.
Here's a little interesting tidbit. Ooh. I hope everyone has AA batteries and has their stack
of AA batteries at home.
Actually, I do, but for different purposes.
My Xbox 360 controller is gobbling them up. So.
My sex toys actually involve a car battery.
Duh, not
well,
here.
Besides your Xbox controller and your sex toys and whatever you need them for, Matt, you can use them to fly a plane in which you ride. I kid you not. In Tokyo, Japanese students succeeded on Sunday in making a man plane powered only by household batteries.
A man plane?
That's man with two N's. The group from the Tokyo Institute of Technology flew the plane a distance of 1,000...
Wait, what? A group from the Tokyo Institute of Technology?
This is all real.
Their acronym is TIT.
Which makes me wonder, what were they doing originally with those batteries?
Wait a second. Tit made a man plane?
Listen, Tit made a man plane.
That's a t-shirt.
And now.
That's a t-shirt.
New
right
breaking
there.
News. Tit made a man plane.
Now, wait a minute.
How far did it fly?
Did they have to put in like 10,000 AAA batteries?
I know you're all wondering how many AAA batteries it took. Let me get there. First, let me tell you what Tit did. Let me tell you what Tit did. Tit flew 1,283 feet. Not Tit, actually, the plane. At an airfield north of the capital in what was the first such battery-powered flight, said a spokesman for Matsushita Electric Industrial Company, the project sponsors. The plane, with a 31-meter wingspan, but whoa, weighing just wow, 44 kilograms.
31 meters?
Yes.
Jesus. And that's a big plane.
And 40, but only 41
that's
kilograms.
Huge. It's a huge plane.
Well, it's all wingspan. I mean, obviously, yeah, this, yeah, it's all about lift and...
Right. Made of balsa.
God, Matt.
Made
obviously
of balsa wood.
I mean, only Tit would worry so much about lift.
So Tit made a wide plane. So it was 44 kg that the plane weighed, and the student flying it was 63 kg, and the whole thing lasted for about a minute.
Okay. How many batteries?
All right. This is where we go into trivia mode. Aaron, how many batteries?
I'm going to say it took 500 batteries.
Don?
I'm going to say that they went for a lot more efficiency than that, and the short span of it, and I'm going to go obscenely small and say 12.
Okay, Matt.
I'm going to go prices right and say $1. I mean one battery.
It took. You're going to go with one AA battery.
One AA battery.
One little Duracell. You buy at Target.
Yes.
Okay. 12 and
500.
500. The answer is. The power was provided by 160 AA batteries.
Don,
you are the new winner.
Thank you.
You went over, Aaron.
You should have gone with 13, Matt.
Yeah, 13.
That's the price
right,
of
right, right,
right.
You
wow, that's
over.
Pretty good.
So 160 AA batteries is all it takes to fly for a minute.
That, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. You hear about the that X.
Or you could just put them in a sack and club a stewardess and stick them.
You heard about just that saying. X game or X prize where they were trying to get people to make efficient cars, and this guy, team, 3,000 miles on 1 gallon of gas.
Yeah.
Wow.
You could go from L.A. to New York on 1 gallon.
But did you see the car?
Well, yeah. It's not like you packed the family in there.
No, it's like you butt naked in a very uncomfortable position.
Okay, but I'm saying they get twice as big.
No, I'm just saying. Well, if you make it twice as big.
Use 2 gallons.
2 gallons.
2 gallons, 1,500 miles.
No, but it's all intrinsic to that. I don't know how, if you made it twice as big, it might just take the same amount of gas as a car.
I think the idea is that there's obviously some efficiency loss in the cars we're driving.
Absolutely is. Yeah.
Just a little bit. I mean, is there really, though?
All right, Matt, do you have another one?
All right, MIT create a web-based optic. In a radical departure from conventional lens-based optics, MIT scientists have developed a sophisticated optical system made of mesh-like webs of light-detecting fibers. The fiber constructs, which have a number of advantages over their lens-based predecessors, are currently capable of measuring the direction, intensity, and phase of light. Without the lenses, filters, or detector arrays that are the classic elements of optical systems such as eyes or cameras. Basically, these suckers can detect light from any direction, coming in anywhere, anyhow, anywho. So basically, like the Hubble telescope, even though it's mm-hmm. a fantastic lens, it's still a lens. Mm-hmm. And this sucker operates a hell of a lot more like the human eye.
So
wow.
It's just an array you could stick out there. You wouldn't have to aim.
Yes.
Yeah, but the eye has a lens.
Exactly.
So
actually, they say even the human eye detected digital and film cameras, and even the Hubble uses lens and detector surfaces. But while these systems deliver excellent images, they're constrained by their size, weight, fragility, and limited field of view. In contrast, the fiber webs are flexible and lightweight, plus a fiber web in the shape of a sphere can sense the entire volume of space around it. So they can make some funky, funky, funky things that see.
360-degree viewing.
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly. So
that's impressive.
That those cameras would be easier than sewing up those.
Yeah,
12,
check it out. Yeah. It's a little bit much to go into, but check out the website. It's a really, really, really funky camera that they're talking about.
Huh?
Yeah,
that sounds cool.
It looks odd.
So is that it?
Well, I just want to, my last one real quickly. The guy that we've heard about for the last like year who has taken his red paperclip onto Craigslist. His name is Kyle McDonald. And was going to uptrade it with anything that was just more valuable than his.
Right.
He just got a house.
He did. In Saskatchewan.
Oh, my God.
In Saskatchewan.
Only 14 trades.
14 trades to get
Whoa,
a house.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, he got a house for a
paperclip. He traded a red paperclip, and he traded the first one for a fish pen, and then the fish pen for like a generator, and then the generator for a snowmobile. And
keg of beer, then a snowmobile.
Keg of beer, snowmobile. Then he got... he traded the snowmobile for like, was that the recording contract?
A truck.
Contract
with a small recording company.
Right.
A free year's rent in a Phoenix apartment.
Yeah.
And then an afternoon with rock
Alice
legend
Cooper.
Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And then what it first appeared to be a stunning down trade, he traded Alice Cooper for a motorized, glitterized snow globe depicting the Kiss band.
Kiss snow globe, which Corbin Burnson buys.
Yeah, Corbin Burnson
who's a
it.
Huge snow globe collector.
But eventually,
who knew?
After only 14 trades, he got a house, starting with just a paper.
But why would people give him something more...
Because they want to be part. Like,
they want
some
to be
of
part
these
of
trades
it.
Just sound silly to me. Oh, because they want to be part.
They
of
want
that
to be part.
Phenomenon.
Well, they.
Oh
well, he.
It's like a social experiment.
Yeah, he did it. There's a.
I
there's
need to
a,
do
get
this
a kids game called Bigger and Better, and basically you're allowed to trade as long as both people are happy with the trade, and that was his thing. Is he wanted, you know, if you're happy with my red paperclip, trade it with me. If you're happy with my fish pen, trade it with me. So like people kept on trading, and as long as the other person was happy with it. Then he would trade with
He was on Tech TV probably like 7-8 months ago.
It took
and
me a year.
I think he only had like the pin at that point.
Yeah.
And they said, well, how about this? And they were trying to like, you know, they're trying to give him like, you know, 50 boxes of macaroni and cheese. And he's like, I think I'm going to stick with my pin.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't make any trade that day. Yeah. But anyway, that's my last of my.
No, let's make a deal scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Well, let's move on
to
our.
Wait, just got one last thing.
I got one more thing.
Really
too.
All right, cool thing.
Get it, Chewy.
All right.
That's why we only bring two news stories now.
Oh, stop being crabby. Stop being bitchy. Bitchy. All right. Dude, it's Daredevil. There's this kid. He's 14 years old. His name is Ben Underwood. He's in People magazine this month. Check him out. He's been sightless since the age of 3, and he uses echolocation to figure out where he is. He can basically use echolocation to see. He clicks.
Oh.
He clicks, and he can tell how hard things are, how far they are away. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
So he walks in the room, and he goes, click.
Yeah, he clicks.
So you're like...
Yeah, he literally clicks.
I know one place he can't
They basically
go.
Say it sounds like somebody snapping, and he can tell how far things are. Ben's ability to navigate in sightless world is, say experts, extraordinary. His skills are rare, says Dan Kish, a blind psychologist and leader of echo mobility among the blind. Ben pushes the limits of human perception. They talk about there are thousands of stories about this kid. Like somebody dropped a CD in a room and he knew exactly where he is. He just walks over to it.
I could do that.
Right. This is one that I said. One of the reporters who was interviewing him says, Haas took walks with Ben to help him practice locating objects. I said, okay, my car is the third car parked down the street. Tell me when we get there. As we pass the first vehicle, he says, there's the first car. Actually, it's a truck. And it was a pickup. He could tell the difference.
Oh, my God.
This kid, he skateboards. He plays PlayStation. He plays PlayStation because he can tell exactly what sounds characters make.
Okay.
And he can interpret distance based on what sounds they make by their feet. It's ridiculous.
All he needs is the red outfit.
Just check it out. Those little clicker things with you, and you can like completely f them up.
Yeah, he's
that's his arch nemesis. Yeah.
Click, 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 click. I'm gonna hire a bunch of flamenco dancers to perform for him.
The kid's funny too.
Anyone that speaks, you know, like Swahili or something.
This kid, he talks about this opportunity where this kid like punched him in the back of the head. And he runs after this kid clicking at him. And he could tell where the kid's running. He skateboards, for God's sake. The kid skateboards.
That's
Will not use a cane either. He refuses to use a cane.
Wow. Well, he needs one of those little cane with the hook so he can, like...
Well, I'm telling you, he's freaking Daredevil. This kid is amazing. He's amazing.
That's crazy. Yeah. You have one more?
Well, this is more like a trivia thing, but we can do that some other time.
We can do that. Okay.
We can do that. We can do that at the end.
All right. Let's move on to our topic of the week. So, Don, why don't you introduce our topic?
All right. Now, our topic was inspired this week by actually a news story that I read. Okay. So, I'm going to give a brief news update on this thing. We'll put a link to it on our site. Long story short, this guy was a well-known member of his community, family man, churchgoer, good guy, well-liked by everyone, and respected, right? And then one day, all of a sudden, his personality started changing, and he started developing pedophile tendencies. Ooh. He started hitting on his stepdaughter very inappropriately, and it was completely out of character for him.
Brain tumor.
They discovered he had a tumor in his head, and when they removed it, his behavior returned back to normal.
Weird.
But
I saw no
that on
weirdness
episode
anymore.
Of Law and Order.
A couple years later, the tumor came back, and the pedophile activity resumed. When it was removed, bam, went away again. So this made me think of all of the different places in sci-fi where we've seen crime and punishment. Lobotomies and brainwashing.
Okay.
Right?
And brain wipes. Yeah.
Right? Now, in a lot of different types of sci-fi, we've seen examples where a criminal is punished by physically removing a part of his brain, by...
Psychically removing
their personality, by brainwashing, like straight up in Clockwork Orange. We're going to discuss the... moral and ethical dilemmas associated with this, and whether we're pro or anti. So, first off, I mean, the lobotomy. It's just a punishment.
It's like a spank. It's a spank on the tush.
That's their marketing gimmick. Lobotomy.
But
it's
just a punishment. With this guy, for example, the pedophile that I just discussed.
Right.
Functionally, the tumor is being lobotomized. They're taking out a portion of his brain, right?
But not all pedophiles necessarily have that brain.
I would say that was an invasive structure within his brain that they removed.
Yeah, and it's a tumor. It's a growing
If they discovered
structure.
What portion of the brain was responsible for pedophilia, and they discovered that they could remove it, would that be an acceptable practice?
But those are two really big ifs. Okay. And what we don't know right now is... The thing that is sort of left in limbo is if they were able to discover what that part of the brain is that creates that behavior, we don't know what removing it will also take away.
Well, wait, first of all, we do things that are kind of like that. There's a thing called chemical castration, which actually, until recently, I literally thought chemical castration, you took chemicals, injected it. And it just ate it away.
Yeah, that
sounds like
the image I have too. Yeah,
it's not like that at all. You just take it and it suppresses your desire.
Right,
which
right.
I was like,
it's not like Wonder Drug shrinks your balls.
No. I actually thought it would just shrivel away. In 90 days or less.
Yeah, it's like 15 days later, it turns black and fall off. That's kind of what I thought it was. Surprisingly enough, but in a way, that's kind of a reversible description of Don's your little setup there.
Right.
Now, you know,
the thing is, they used to use lobotomy. I mean, they actually did lobotomy.
Yeah, but they didn't use it for crime and punishment.
They used to do a lot of things. Well, it was basically for aberrant behavior, and they would take people to mental institutions and say, you have this aberrant behavior, and let's pull it. I mean, you think about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, well, now, that's one thing that came up in my mind, because I think the point of that particular play slash movie is that it was used as a punishment and not as treatment.
Right. And that it ultimately didn't work.
Right. But originally it was...
Treatment. Clockwork Orange was like that.
Right.
Like, you know... Now, to take it a little bit further, you know, where you're using... you brain wipe or you personality wipe somebody. Now, I guess my question would be...
Well, that's the next step. I mean...
Well, my question would be, what would be the purpose of doing that? Is it to rehabilitate the person, or is it to... is it some type of justice punishment thing?
In Babylon 5... Okay, let's use Babylon 5 as an example.
Okay.
They have telepaths in Babylon 5. Humankind has evolved to the point where we have telepathy. And in replacing capital crime, capital punishment, executions have been replaced by death of personality, where what happens is...
Isn't that an 80s song?
That's Cult of Personality.
It's Cult of
In death of personality, a telepath comes to you, goes into your brain and wipes away your personality, wipes away everything that makes you you, wipes away your memories.
Did they have, now not being the Bab expert, did they have an episode where somebody's personality came back?
Well, I can go into that if you like.
Sure. Wait, let him finish what happens.
Let me finish the description of what it actually
is.
So they go in, they remove all of that stuff, and then they build up kind of state-approved personalities and memories that will never lead you to be an exceptional person from that point on. It just leads you to kind of want to live your own sort of life
on
your own.
It's like the generic personality install.
But want to do good. Like, you want to make the world a better place in small ways, right?
Yeah.
So, like, most of the people, like, they went off to become monks. They went off to become, you know, caretakers of other people, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And the first episode that comes up in, they go into the fact that when that personality is wiped, they're removed from anything that might help trigger those old memories.
Okay.
That old personality.
So it's a double thing.
If they're ever old, they get rewiped. Or if anyone ever reveals information of their past, that they have to be...
You used to be this kind of person.
It has to be done all over again. But in that episode, one of the family members of a victim finds the person who was mind wiped, and starts planting things to trigger memories, so
you know,
that they could punish that person.
I think that's specifically one of the best things in sci-fi, is that it brings up that situation of where the soul resides. Basically, when you wipe that mind, when you wipe it out, do we have a clean slate, or are we going to reform the same tendencies every single time?
Okay, so this
or
is the,
this if
is
there
the,
is a soul, can that soul be redeemed?
Right.
Well, here's the thing: is you're right, Matt. The ultimate question that we would need to solve, which I'm sure we're not going to solve in this room tonight. Oh, but maybe we will.
Maybe we will. It's kind of short.
What is it that makes you you?
Right.
Is you your mind?
Are you your memories?
Are you your memories? Are you your soul? Are you your physical
form? And what
form?
Is that soul?
Yeah, is there some type of spirit?
Sure.
Or is there
some
type of... Is a collection of memories... Strangely enough, it's unfortunate that Peter isn't here, because when we went camping last time, I brought something like this up to our wives as well. I said, if a killer bumped his head and lost all of his memories and woke up and you told him, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to execute you for your crimes. And he said, wait a minute. I couldn't have done that. I'm not that, you know, I don't remember any of that. I mean, you got to give me a break. I mean, that's not me. I don't remember any of that. Do you find that person still responsible for their crimes?
And Peter said, kill him.
Almost every, they're almost all, they almost, I think everyone in the car decided that inherently, whether you have your memories or not, that person still is responsible.
Resides.
Because there's something deeper than just a collection of memories.
But and that example is also one where, you know, instead of him not remembering, it could be, you know, I'm sorry, all right? You know, like he could have come to terms that I did this, and now he's seeking forgiveness and all that stuff. I mean, that's almost the same as him saying, I don't remember, I'm not the same person.
Right. But see, you know, there's been movies like regarding Henry, it's kind of like this.
Yeah.
A-hole business guy bumps his head and becomes this really nice guy.
Yeah.
Is he the same guy or not?
Right.
Is he the same person? And I, you know, it's interesting, the Babylon 5 thing, because what they did was they replaced capital punishment with this.
Mm-hmm.
So someone somewhere decided
that this is just as bad.
No, they decided that it wasn't as bad, that you aren't killing somebody, the soul or spirit exists.
But it's rated just as bad. It's for the same things that killing you used to be rated for.
But actually we're missing a big point here, which is that, you know, who is deciding what is good and what is a normal person and what is an acceptable person, right? But I mean, and so it's like, but I think that's inherently going to be a part of this conversation, because ultimately when you decide for yourself, right, like there are stories in the past, in history, of people that have, you know, gone through that hard process, that very, very difficult process of redeeming themselves,
right,
and they are contributing to society, you know, but even within jail.
So Tookie Williams, is Tookie Williams, because he's redeemed himself in jail, even though he created the Crips, definitely killed people.
I think that's a definitely different topic, but I think one thing that, you know, for example, Babylon 5 is saying is that, well, this isn't killing somebody, so they can go on to do good.
Mm-hmm.
We are now just going to remove that portion of this person's life, which is, you know, that's
like
the thing.
Say, like, for example, you were a pedophile, Sunil.
say for example.
Now, if you knew you could go in and have this operation and remove a portion of your brain,
sure,
right?
Because there is guilt involved with that usually.
Yeah, usually there is.
I'm just thinking that.
Would you do that? You know,
I think, okay, that brings up a couple questions. First, I would have to say, I don't want to do this, right? If I'm that sick in my head, right? We can't. Mm-hmm. Not every person that's doing these things thinks that they're doing a bad thing.
Yeah, but
thing,
a lot
right?
of people choose to do chemical castration.
Yeah.
That's a voluntary thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guilt involved in the case.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm saying, I'm just saying, like, if we're going to expand this out to be something more than just an individual by individual basis, we have to look at the reality that some people aren't going to volunteer for that.
Well, that's the question. Yeah. One,
would I personally volunteer?
Would you allow someone to do it voluntarily to remove a portion of their head?
Uh-huh.
And two, would you allow the state to impose that on someone as a punishment?
I don't think...
Knowing that that way children could be guaranteed protection.
Yeah, but I mean, see, then we're... I feel like that's a really slippery slope when we say guaranteeing protection.
Yeah.
Because we're sort of living right now in a very real version of that with our current administration trying to guarantee us protection. And by doing that, they're trying to erode some of our, I don't even, like, I mean, just
some
our personal
basic
liberties,
rights.
Our basic rights, rights.
No.
We see examples of that.
We have a right to punish people.
No, we absolutely have a right to punish people.
This would just be replacing punishment.
Well, then we can get into the conversation.
Or locking them behind bars.
Or locking them behind bars.
Financial drain of society.
But then the question
becomes... Actually, it's more cost to kill someone than it is to keep them behind bars.
But how much cost is it to tie them down and pull out a piece of their brain?
That's going to be even more of a cost.
No, but just one of those, you know, you get your empath in here, you wipe the brain,
right?
Then they walk outside and they go get a job.
Right.
Would you say that the government had the right to do that? Or do you have to put them behind bars and pay for their goddamn cable for 60 effing years?
Right. Well, when you put it that way, I mean, look, it's when you put it that hypothetically, you're basically hypothetically asking, if we could have some magic person, some godlike entity, remove all the bad people in the world, would you do it?
No, but
I mean, that's what you're asking, because you're saying.
Actually, no. We're saying this guy is going to molest the child.
No. Take it into a global context.
But you're putting it in a context
you're trying to make this really good. Yeah.
Where basically, they get the chip in their head and then they walk out the next hour. No.
What you guys are trying to do right now is switch it from a global thing to a personal thing. Let's keep it at a big level. Let's keep it at a big sort of philosophical
globally.
Level. Philosophically,
okay,
what
fine.
You're asking is saying, can we have some all-powerful thing entity,
no.
i.e. the government in
okay.
this case, all-powerful in the sense that they can do this thing, take away all bad people, i.e. taking away a part of their brain and making them good again. When you ask something on that level, of course I don't think anyone would say let's not take away all the bad,
you know,
people.
But
what you have to do is that the devil is in the details. The devil is in not just is it good to have all bad people go away. The devil is in, well, what exactly does that do when you take away that part of the brain?
To elaborate on your point, I think I agree. Because once you say, Aaron, that you say, all right, you get a chip in your head, you walk out the next half hour, you get a job, you don't molest kids anymore, absolutely, that's great. All right, now what happens if we say we put a chip in your head, but that chip costs $16,000 for each chip that comes in, but that's state-funded, and we're taking away from this, that, and the other
right,
thing
well,
in order to do
and
it.
And then when is it? What if the threshold moves down?
Well,
what if the threshold
moves down? What I'm saying, what we're talking about is semantics of the morality of
right.
that type
yeah,
of thing.
We're talking morality, not economy.
Like, you know, what if it
was
free?
But it is. I mean, but it is semantics of morality. That's
but,
what.
But
that's
why this conversation is so. But that's why a conversation like this is a difficult conversation. If you say, what if it was free? And if you say, what if it didn't affect anything? And if you say, well, what right. if it just wiped out
That's
all the bad
why
people?
We're having the conversation.
But, no, but the point is that it's like, what if? After a certain point, the ultimate, when you go logically to the end of that, ultimately, you're asking, what if we could just get rid of all bad people?
No, that's an entirely different conversation.
But you're saying,
that's like saying we can't lock people up because we're going to have an overall God thing locking all the bad guys up.
No, because morality.
No, not at all.
This has been brought up before in another movie. The movie Equilibrium does something similar to this, where what they do is the entire population of the United States voluntarily submits to basically chemical castration.
Mm-hmm.
They take a pill that completely nullifies all emotion, and they all become Vulcans for the rest of their life.
Okay.
And anyone who develops an immunity to the pill or refuses to take the pill is put away.
And is that because of too much
executed.
Violence or something?
Right.
Or
that.
There's a David Brin novel where basically they take women and men's systems and they shift them half a year off each other, so whenever the women are interested, men are not, and whenever the men are interested,
it's
women are not.
Brave New World.
Yeah, exactly. It's always what you're talking about is gradations of morality.
What was the goal for that, though?
To basically disallow humans from ever interacting unless it was a clinical reality. So there would never be any rape. There would never be anything like that.
But if
it would be a preformed, perfect utopian society where only the people who were chosen to be created in the next generation were created.
Wait, okay. But I still don't understand why we can't talk about the next stage prosecution,
we
or
can.
Without
we can
saying that it's
going
to blow up into some weird god
thing.
No, wait.
That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that as soon as you put one side and you say the next stage of generation is just a chip in your head and bang, it's done. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If it's just a chip in your head and bang, it's done, there is no conversation about
that. Yes, there is, because what I'm saying is, if is mind erasing the key, or is the guy who is a killer, is that deep in, is that your soul, or is that just a collection of your memories? It's not black and white.
But if you're saying you can take a chip and he will never molest a child again, and that's the only part of their brain that he's affecting, that's what you said.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying whatever. I mean, is wiping your memories.
Right.
Or
that's what I'm saying. But that's a slippery slope. That's where you're saying where the gradation is. You know, if it does erase your memories, that makes it completely different than if it just erases the part of your brain.
If it just erases you being a bad person.
Well, then I guess we better stop talking.
Right.
No.
The original topic, and I'm not sure how we drifted it away, is can you wipe somebody's memories and call that a decent form of
punishment?
No, I don't think so.
No, but because, you're saying can you
push that person that you are punishing functionally no longer exists?
Not if that, you just
well,
because
no,
you wipe away memories.
That's
not
true.
That's
absolutely.
That's a no.
And how does that person exist?
And a person who has amnesia.
If you cannot talk to them,
but a person who has amnesia, a person who has amnesia is still the same person.
How?
How are they not?
How are they not
the same
person?
They don't have that personality anymore.
Wait,
memory is not personality. Memory isn't personality.
No, we're saying if you remove the memory and personality, you are punishing.
Okay, Aaron said memories. You're saying memories and personality.
I'm saying this is. I'm not sure exactly the answer to this, but are you telling me that if you temporarily lost your memory, that you could be do absolutely anything? You could just wake up and you're a killer. You could just wake up and do, you know, like, how do you think you would decide on the type of person?
If my memories, right, if my experiences in life have helped shape my morality,
okay,
right, Yes.
So what do you think a person with amnesia thinks?
Or
Does he think that he could just kill somebody? Do you think if you bumped your head that you could just... You would have zero moral compass.
Amnesia is not a good example of this because
Alzheimer's.
Amnesia leaves societal constructs.
Okay, Alzheimer's
still in there,
which leaves the, like very very little societal.
Wait, hold on.
It still does
clarify
leave it
when
there.
You say societal constructs. What do you mean when you say that?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
It
either.
Means when you have amnesia,
yeah.
you still have language. You still
well,
have.
We're talking what are you talking about when you say
of
memories?
Everything you've learned. Through your life, the way you're supposed to behave. You may not know why, but that structure is still left intact.
Well, we're talking about that with this. We don't want to wipe someone's brain.
So when you say
jelly,
are
that's
you saying
the
they don't even know how to eat?
Put out by most of these sci-fi things.
But no. then are you saying
like
they don't
Babylon
know how to eat?
5. They break down your personality, they
Wait,
remove
none.
It, and they give you a new set.
Most right. of the most
you know,
of the sci-fi
it
things.
It replaces
that,
something.
That's okay, but
there.
See, that's two things then. So are you saying, the first question I have is, are you saying that they don't even remember how to eat or take a shit? Or
there are lots of degrees of this.
Okay.
If you can reduce someone back to a vegetable state, if that is necessary,
right. okay.
and then rebuild them up to a point where they can
then
be...
Then that's the second
that
thing.
That is
Who?
One description of the possibility,
okay,
possible
but,
ways of doing
that. Then that's
that.
The second thing. Who, and I think this is a very important part of this conversation. If you're saying they can rebuild. Who is rebuilding? And why is that moral structure better?
In this situation, we're putting forward the state.
What's that?
In this situation that we're putting forward, it's the state.
So then that opens up a whole can of worms.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely...
That opens up a
point.
Whole can of worms.
That's but, the point. That's
and so,
why we're here. Alrighty.
But I mean, so then I think no.
Okay, let me pose something that's different, that is less because I think this is all gradations of gray. It's basically where we put the level. If it's really easy to do this experiment and it takes away less memories, obviously it's going to be more amenable to most people than if it starts taking away more memories. It takes away more of the initial person. The more bad behavior, you know, it's bad behavior to good behavior relationship. The more bad behavior you take away while leaving most of the good behavior, the more amenable it's going to be, right? So, different one. In Cyberpunk, they talk about something called brain dance, right? Mm-hmm. Brain dance is basically, you put somebody in a chamber, and as punishment, they're forced to relive their worst crime mm-hmm. over and over and over and over and over again
right.
until they come out, quote unquote, rehabilitated many, many years
That's
later.
That's kind of like Clockwork Orange,
right.
in a way.
Yeah.
Now, for me, I thought for years and years and years in my 20s that this was really, really a great idea. You know,
right.
I was like, this is the thing to do to people.
Yeah.
And then I had an argument with somebody where
Are they reliving it in the point of view of the victim?
Both.
And doing it again.
And okay. then I talked to somebody and they said, well, basically that's the cycle of abuse. They're reliving the cycle of abuse over and over and over and over and over again. And that's probably what put them there in the first place.
Well, that opens up the whole can of worms of punishment versus rehabilitation.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? And the American penal system has already decided rehabilitation is not the goal. They are now gearing towards punishment.
Yeah.
Doesn't that
it's
also bring up the whole thing about, like, a lot of people, a lot of criminals, that in terms of, like, when we're talking about rape or pedophilia, mm-hmm. They get a kick out of it. So reliving the crime...
Right.
If they're reliving it, that's why I asked you, if they're reliving it from their own point of view as
right,
well.
From both.
I don't know if that's going to change them.
Wasn't there a Star Trek where the crime was you had to relive the crime through the victim's eyes?
Yes.
Wasn't that
I think it's the Next Generation.
I don't remember.
It's one of those.
That feels like that'd be more effective, I think.
Yeah.
Than just being,
I can't remember exactly what. Of course, you know, they always twist it so that it ends up being a poor idea. But, you know, again, I'm not sure if that's a rehabilitation method
sure.
or a punishment method.
Sure.
And, you know.
So if somebody brutally killed someone you loved,
mm-hmm.
right? Brutally.
Yeah.
Would you think it is insufficient simply to wipe out their memories and their personality?
I mean, I've looked at myself in this way. I am a complete and utter liberal until it happens to me.
Yeah.
I think we're all hypocrites.
And then I'm like, you know, drop something heavy on them quick. You know, and that's.
But see, and I think that's a good point you bring up because.
Do you still haven't answered the question? Is that sufficient or would the death penalty be the only satisfaction?
Is one
more merciful than the other?
I mean, you have to semi-satisfy the family or the victims.
Yeah, I mean,
that's part of what this is about.
I got to say something here because this actually did happen to me. So
yeah.
I did have a family member that was brutally killed, and I have to say that, you know, and I was younger when this happened, so I hadn't necessarily thought through all this stuff, you know. And I think even if it were to happen to me, you know, knock on wood, it doesn't, but or to anyone I know or love, but if this were to happen again, it would be, yes, if it is me, yeah, the first thing I want to do is, you know, kill the motherfucker. I mean, it's dead. It's done. There's no debate.
And if they said, oh, no, the wiping of the mind is essentially killing him. We just keep the body and we load another thing.
Listen,
you'd
listen.
Be like, hell with that.
No. Listen, like, for me, personally, I would want to go and kill him.
Hey, I'm,
or her,
I'm
or whatever.
With you.
Okay? Now, however, okay, I also, and it's taken me a long time to come to this, and I still don't, I don't think any of us here ever really know what we're going to do in a situation until it happens to us like this, okay? I still feel strongly that giving the power like that to the state, I feel is just inherently wrong to allow the state to take a life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is just creating more death.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay, wait, let me pose the opposite side of it
for
you. What happens when you have supreme, you know, like the Islamic states right now, where basically justice is put in the hand of the people a lot of times, and they go out and they tear the guy to pieces, whether or not they have evidence, whether or not they have.
I got
you. Know,
there's another example to that that's on the other coin.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done in South Africa, what Nelson Mandela instituted, the Truth and Reconciliation Committee. Now there's been some heinous shit that's gone down over there, right? During apartheid. Now, you know, they could have gone the route of saying, "Let us just kill." Or jail and just, you know, get rid of all the people
who did
that did these just atrocious, like the most brutal crimes you can think of. Okay. And they knew that that wasn't going to ultimately create any sort of ability to move on. And I think, you know, that's part of it too, is like, how do you, as you know, a survivor of a victim, move on?
So to put it back in the sci-fi construct, does putting that chip in the head or whatever it is allow people to move on better, or does it keep that?
That's a good question.
Well, I mean, here's
keeps
the thing:
if
you say, "Oh, we're not killing them; we're just going to mind wipe."
Yeah,
them.
I'm going to mind wipe Hitler,
and then you see him, and then you see him on the street.
To be a janitor.
Right.
Okay. Hitler's bagging your groceries.
Idea is that they get put away where you will never see them again.
Okay. But see,
they get removed from your environment and put into someone else.
Then there's always that 1% chance, right? You're like, I decided to travel to this part of the world.
Marathon man.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah, right?
Now,
right.
This is,
Marathon Man.
I want to ask this question to you, Don, since you bring up that they replace part of the process in this scenario is that they replace you with a generic personality. Mm-hmm. I think Larry Nevin has a book called A World Without a Time, where the protagonist wakes up in the body of a criminal that had been mind wiped.
Right.
And they replaced his brain with this new personality, which is him. And he looks down, he's like, "Great. Now I'm stuck in this killer." So,
okay,
the personality,
take a copy of another person's personality. And
well, no matter what personality you put in there,
okay.
No,
even
was,
if it's from scratch, it's a personality,
I think he was in an accident or something like that.
They needed to save his body.
But in the Babylon 5 scenario,
okay,
they wipe his brain and they put in a generic personality, which is new, fresh, right? It's not another. It's still a personality, right?
Yes.
So you've now created a new person, which is another topic entirely.
Right.
Or maybe not. Again, I don't entirely believe that just loading in new memories creates a new person. I still think there's a spirit in there, and that's what when we had this conversation while camping, the girls were saying, even if the guy who gets bumped in the head and he says, "No, I'm not a killer. I don't remember doing that." They said his spirit is still there. And that's where the killer is.
Where does the soul
and, you know,
end?
There's also, what is there, body memory, right? There's physical, in the sense of like.
No, that's valid. That's valid.
And here's
that's
another,
been a lot of sci-fi is body memory.
Yeah. And the other
Oh crap! Forget it. Move on.
There was one point that you were saying that triggered something, but you know, I think the government wiped that part of my memory out, so I can't remember what the hell I was going to say.
The cool thing is that you know, because it's such a gray area, and you know, yes, what are the costs? Oh, and
I got it. I remember. Okay, so let's say you put in a new personality, right?
We download.
You put in, and he's got new memories. This new person is wandering around. Now here is where we get into the thing of like what. What really made that person bad? Using the pedophile example, what made that person a pedophile? What is to say that this new person gets put in some scenario, right? They can't all be monks, right? Yeah. They're all going to be interacting in society somewhere. Mm-hmm. What's to say?
Where's the trigger?
What's to say there isn't a new trigger?
Yeah,
something new that's created.
Well, that's
I think.
Well, that's going to be true of every man, woman, and child, regardless. If you're saying it's purely environmental,
Hold on.
The premise you're putting out there now is saying the removal of the memories is what's making it clean, right? That's the premise you just put out?
No, the premise you put out is that the memory is
I'm saying removal of memory and personality.
Okay? I'm going with that premise that you put out.
Okay. Now, that means that all environmental aspects have been removed.
Sure. Right?
Okay. What you're saying is, what if you put a mouse into another situation where those environmental aspects also trigger it? Mm-hmm. There are two different answers to that.
Sure.
One, it's an environmental reaction, which would happen to any man, woman, or child put into that reaction.
Uh-huh.
That's not true at all.
Or it's a physiological one being triggered by that environmental reaction.
That's not necessarily true either.
Yes, there are only two reasons why any of that.
No, Don, there is a third one that you insist. There could be a spirit. If two people are put in the same family and their father kicks their ass, one might become a killer and one might become a priest.
Frailty.
And that third thing could be the thing that's changing him. Now, if that spirit is still buried,
it's still living in there
somewhere, and that trigger, I mean, there's not all, I mean, everyone gets picked on when they're kids, and we don't all go Columbine.
I just don't believe in predestination, which is what you're saying.
No, but that has nothing to do with predestination.
You're saying your spirit predestines you towards a certain reaction.
No, you're saying
no matter what your environment is.
No, you're saying the spirit affects what your circumstances. It's a counter effect, or it's a reactive effect to what you're being provided, what stimulus you're being provided.
Here's something I want to put out there that usually doesn't get put out there a lot, and since I'm on Geeks On, I might as well do this. what you're calling spirit could also be something else, and please feel free to laugh. The oldest science in the world is actually astrology.
Okay.
And I'm not talking the shit that you read in the Sunday paper with the 12 signs. Like, literally, this is stuff that has been around for centuries.
Right.
Okay. And what these guys are measuring are, you know, what we've sort of science in maybe the last couple of decades have started to catch up with is like, you know, the chemicals in the body and this chemical creates this kind of behavior and all that sort of thing. And these guys have been studying gravitational pull, you know, and, you know.
Humors.
What's that?
Humors.
What's humors?
The humors in the body.
Oh, okay.
Of, you know.
Balance. And
balance.
Sure. What? And what I think the scientific leap that hasn't been made, at least that I know of, is, does gravity affect, you know, where you...
Wait.
No, like, look, this happens with women.
Not just gravity, but...
But like the lunar, like, you know, the look, when they're, well, what they're measuring in astrology is sun, earth, moon, planet. They're measuring all that shit.
Yeah.
That is all gravitational.
No, absolutely.
I would think this would fall into the environmental aspects.
No, but I mean...
No, whether you want to call it environmental or spiritual, like, the fact is it's messing with something that we don't know how to measure.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we have the word lunatic.
I'm stopping right there because I don't know shit about it. But
we're looking at them.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's looking at me like I'm fucking crazy. But listen, there is stuff to what I'm saying here. Okay. And so... No. Listen, I love how Donald brings up the idea of wiping up everyone's memory and it's free and we wipe away their memory and personality is looking at me like I'm a fucking moron and I'm talking about something that has been around for centuries that's actually proven that's not on Babylon 5.
No,
but actually,
astrology is lovely.
No, don't fucking talk
astrology
down to me.
Astrology is lovely.
Don't talk about
all right, we need to wrap all this right, thing all right, up. All
right.
All right, so before we say goodbye, we wanted to hit some Fewer letters, fewer mail. We want a couple links and a couple, and you maybe have something, maybe not. So, Matt, you have some.
Yeah, we got a bunch.
All right,
man.
Matt.
So I may pass these around so we can all read them. Hey, geeks, just finished listening to your Geek Addictions episode. Wanted to comment on something. It was mentioned in the news that a lot of gay men watch the Sci-Fi channel, and some of you were skeptical. I think the reason so many gay guys watch sci-fi is pretty obvious. It's Battlestar Galactica. There are a lot of hot guys on the show. I personally didn't start watching until I saw a still shot of Jamie Bamber's infamous towel scene. Ever since, I've been an addict, though not only because of that, the show itself is great.
That's awesome.
All of my friends watch it too. Anyways, thanks for a great podcast. Look forward to every new episode.
So all the gay people out there, you have gay men out there. What are you, an Apollo fan?
Yeah.
Are you a, who's the guy who was trapped on the planet with the...
It was Glenn.
He's like the only man candy on the show.
No. There's a guy who was trapped on the planet. Who got the girl pregnant.
Hero?
Is no.
Now I'm picturing Edward James Olmos in a towel.
He's actually still pretty strong.
Oh, my third eye.
Evil.
All right, Matt, what's the next one?
I'm here to ask you if you had ever heard of a manga anime Chobits. I think that's how you pronounce it. I thought it would be right up your alley because you seem to enjoy Blade Runner. If you've seen it, skip the next paragraph. Chobits is set in the very near future where humanoid computers called Perscoms are part of most people's daily lives. The story follows Hideki Matsuo, a farm boy, moved to Tokyo in order to go to prep school. He longs for a Perscom but can't afford one. Hmm. He finds a beautiful female-shaped one lying in the garbage. When he finally activates her, he comes to realize that she does not know anything, even how to speak. When he brings her the Perscom home, who he names Chi, to a Perscom expert, he tells Hideki it might be a Chobit, a special type of Perscom able to think on its own and perform outside its programming. The story is very entertaining. Check it out, your devoted geekling, Lily.
Ooh, sounds interesting. I check it out.
Here, Don, you check out this one.
Don, I hate you.
This is from Joel Thompson. Just thought I'd tell you about a seemingly little-known form of online role-playing. At sites like www.plothook.net/RPG, mm-hmm. you can play by post. Mm. In PBP, like tabletop, the DM creates the story, and the players play their parts. But unlike tabletop, the players get to be as descriptive as they like. It's great for long-distance games. I've been in games with players as far away as Australia. In fact, I discovered PBP while I was on a deployment in Iraq. That's how I was able to get my gaming fix. Now that I'm not doing it... Let's try it again. I know that I'm not doing it justice here, but plothook.net has great gaming communities and games from almost every system in existence. Take a look. Joel. I actually used to play in a play-by-mail game called allendane.com, those of you out there who are interested.
Really?
In
I've noticed a couple of people coming from that site to our site.
Yeah, a friend of mine runs the game system, and he put a plug for Geeks on there. Hmm. And we had a flow of a few people from over there. And some of the games, I think, are still going, so check it out.
Cool. I've been catching up on shows for the last 3 days, and I noticed that nobody mentioned Legend of Hell House or Trilogy of Terror.
On our horror shows,
oh, this
yes.
is the horror show. Yeah. Man, this was a while back.
Yeah.
During the horror show, if you haven't seen Trilogy of Terror, be warned. There are three story sections within the movie, which all star Karen Black. Who's Karen Black?
Karen Black. Why is that familiar?
I know that
Black
name.
Is familiar. The first and second are kind of Saturday afternoon television. Boy, he's really selling this as a good
one. Yeah, it's like, oh, great. Yeah, Karen Black.
You can take Raiders of the Lost Ark. The third, on the other hand, fucking rocks. The last time I saw it was about 10 years ago, and the sound of tiny feet running across the darkened apartment still creeps me out.
I think that's the one with the statue.
If you hear tiny feet thumping around your apartment... I hope you have kids.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you probably should be afraid.
Yeah, exactly. Is that the one with the little, like, Charlie Weaver doll?
No, whatever? I think it's the one that's... It's a tiny little African statue, and I think this is the one that scared the bejesus out of Peter when he was a kid.
I saw that. It was like a plantation in the South. Where,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, this is for me. One kid said, "Dear Geeks, I am disappointed in your geek cred and not knowing about Metropolis, Illinois, home of Superman."
Every year in Metropolis, Illinois, far south Illinois, near the Kentucky border, there is a Superman festival. This year, Michael Schwartzbaum was the big star, along with the original Lois Lane from the George Reeves TV series, blah, blah, blah. While the town is far more Smallville than Metropolis, the city has a giant Superman statue in the town and some of the largest Superman memorabilia stores this side of Gotham City. So
he also I just want you to know that I'm from Illinois, and I knew about Metropolis.
So Matt, there. You have to bring up the guy Matt. Who worked out the math...
Yeah, which one?
The math of...
Oh, God. I'm going to... my girlfriend said I can't frame it, but I want to frame it.
You're going to frame it.
We should post it.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to post it. Some of our listeners know that Matt and I had a little argument during the middle of a role-playing session.
A little argument.
Entirely my fault for stopping the game.
Matt lost an ear.
But it was about whether a fairy could fly to the front of a speeding jet plane in the... Okay, it's
right,
geeky,
right.
Okay?
Right. Right.
Well, one of our listeners who was an engineer worked the math out.
Yes.
Oh.
And it's awesome.
You've got to see the paperwork.
We'll post it on our website.
That is awesome.
If somebody, I don't know how to check his math, but if somebody wants to check his math, you go right on ahead.
Yep,
but
absolutely. Use a worksheet.
Yes. We want to see your math.
We want to see you working that out. All right. We got three more, I guess. Here, Don, you want to check this one out?
I will check this one out. That's a long one. Jesus. Yeah. This one's from Joshua. Well, I only dream about electric sheep when I eat pizza right before bed whilst listening to your most recent Blade Runner podcast. Ooh. However, excellent segment all around. I agree that you should do more shows on narrow topics like this one. Picking apart geekdom has to be done with precision. I know that everyone in the segment showed interest in machines pretending to be or actually being human. And what it means to be human. Refrigerators for the betterment of humanity? What was that about? If so, I suggest rewatching the new Doctor Who series on BBC. It addresses much of what makes humans human.
That's true.
Out on DVD now. It's the first season.
I have a feeling you guys are going to get a lot of mail on this subject, and we did.
Well, we did.
Because it's something that everyone has to address in their philosophical schema at some point. Turing? Oh, Turing test be damned. Thank you. Intelligence is a term that can be clear-cut and rigid in application. If we aren't human because of our thought, where is the line drawn?
Things that make you go,
pertinent to today's conversation, too.
Yes.
Those damn dirty apes took our differentiation from animals due to tool usage. I had another quick thought for you RPGers. Yes, even those of you who role-played a platypus steeped in capoeira. Oh, my God, he does listen to our show. If you enjoy... extra points if you know which of us played that character. If you enjoy character creation and interaction so much, why don't you all co-write a novel? If Joss Whedon can banter his way into such enormous following, I'm pretty sure you guys could have a geekling hordes of followers reading your work.
Because we would kill each other if we all worked on one novel.
Man.
I can only imagine the freaking whiplash you would get going from chapter to chapter.
We're
going to
need that dude who does the math a lot.
You imagine... Just going from Matt, bright, 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 to Don, dark, dark, dark.
Exactly.
We just kill you.
Four short stories.
Keep up the awesome show, you crazy geek lords.
All right. We got, this is the last one I wanted to close on. This guy, I think, is in trouble. John, check it out, man. First of all, check out how what he calls us.
Elliot. This is from Elliot.
Yes.
Hello, Geek Masters.
Geek Masters.
That's the title of my next movie. Geek Master.
Okay. Now, I think Elliot, if we don't watch it, Elliot might be our little Korean kid, and he might kill himself.
Elliot, we
do not want you to listen to so much Geeks On that you die.
Hello, Geek Masters. Well, I guess I have become a major geekling. I recently started listening to your show and look forward to new episodes as they arrive. I have just spent 32 hours nonstop listening to
podcasts. Oh, my God.
Elliot?
Eat food, Elliot.
No.
Elliot, sleep is good, and so is food.
We're not that important.
Yeah, it's like the kid who played StarCraft to death.
Yes, do not watch. Listen to Geeks On to death.
I am officially geeked out.
Yeah.
I must say, when I tried to sleep after the journey, I couldn't stop up hearing Aaron's voice in my left ear arguing over a movie, saying stuff like, this flaming piece of garbage is the biggest wad of suck-ass product I've ever seen in my entire damn life. Or, yes, yes, my sister is hot, and thank you for reminding me.
I never said that.
You never said that.
Also, I seem to find myself starting conversations with my grandmother about the relativity of violence in today's video games, and her not having any opinion on the matter.
Maybe she just likes it.
I don't really understand what you're saying, Elliot.
Or mice that can cure cancer. Whatever happened to that anyway? It's hilarious. You guys have become a great asset to my entertainment geek life, and it is a great joy to be able to get the best geek news through you that I can share with other people. My goal as a future career is to become a graphics artist and animator after going through college, and you have given me a great insight into the world that I feel a lot more confident about the steps I need to take.
Come to Los Angeles, a lot of money.
Yeah, and also avoid becoming as anal as Aaron.
He said that?
Yeah. He did.
Don't come to Los Angeles.
Come to Los Angeles.
For now, I must sleep, for I think that I've reached the limits of my body's ability to stay awake. Your hardcore geekling, Elliot.
No kidding.
Wow. Okay, I'm flattered.
Him and King Tanik could have a geekling off, man.
That's awesome. All right,
does anybody, I have a couple links before we end the show.
Yeah,
I
link
gotta,
away.
I'm going through and designing this board game. I've been doing some research online, and I typed in something from Lord of the Rings, and I stumbled upon a PDF of one of the scenario books of the old Lord of the Rings RPG from the 80s.
Oh, cool.
They're all up, scanned in PDF form on this site. I don't know how long, it's for free. It looks like it's research for a project called the Middle Earth DEM Project. These guys are modeling, kind of like Google Earth, the entire
Middle Earth.
Wow. 3D, the whole thing. And
that's
so they
cool.
need as much information as possible.
Online.
I think what they've done is they've posted these things for people to reference, and I don't know if you're supposed to be able to get to it. I found it. I'm posting the link. Go nice. Download them as fast as you can. There's probably about 500 megs of PDFs. It's like probably 16 of the old original books.
I'll download
that's it. Awesome.
Oh,
my
God. I just bought a hard drive.
That's awesome.
It's, if you remember
you just
the...
bought a hard drive?
Yeah, I bought an additional hard drive.
Oh, I was like...
If you remember the old game, it takes place in the second age of Middle Earth. So it's before... There's all sorts of cities that turn to the dark side in the third age. So there's all sorts of... It's strange reading material. So
very
definitely check it out. And the other one, I sent it to you guys. I don't know if you watch it, is Vader Sessions. On YouTube.
Yes.
This is,
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my God. It's this guy who's taken the star for the episode 4, A New Hope, and redubbed Darth Vader's voice with other James Earl Jones movies. So it sounds just
oh
like.
Oh my God.
Most of it comes from A Great White Hope, where it from the 70s. It's freaking awesome. Yeah. It is so freaking funny.
Oh, I've got
I'll
to
have to
this.
Show it to you right after this.
I thought the Andrew Lloyd Webber one was the one.
That one's also
me.
Good, too.
That was not as good.
The recording was bad, but it's cleverly
done. It's clever.
Done. Yeah. Vader of the Opera.
Vader of the Opera.
I'll put a link to that one as well. All on YouTube. Love YouTube. Everyone, go check it out. Check it 3 times a day.
I am your father. Yeah, basically, yeah. So I got a couple of links. One is The Tick is finally coming out on DVD, the cartoon, not the live action. I don't know where I'm from. So go check out the link. Buy The Tick. Order it. And the other thing is a little... thing for Macs. I do this for you.
For Macs?
For Macs.
Oh, for Macintoshes.
Mac computers. There is a program which allows you to turn your Macintosh into a seismic sensor. So you can sense earthquakes. And in Los Angeles, that makes sense.
That's kind of useful.
Yeah, it's probably
as it's going
life
off.
Preservation device.
Exactly.
Oh,
so
shit,
it's called Seismac. It's called Seismac. So
Seismac.
It's actually a good Seismac.
You know what happened? The guy thought of that name first, and then he
made it.
He's like, I got to find something that can make this work.
I need to make a Seismac.
All right, anybody else have any other links or anything?
I'm good.
That's it, man.
All right, ready?
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you to Sunil for sitting in with us.
Thank you so much,
Sunil.
Thank you.
Heated discussion.
Woohoo! Awesome. send all hate mail directly to not me.
Yep. If you think that Sunil is a lunatic, then email us and we will pass the email on directly to him.
Or post it on our forums.
Or post it on our forums.
We'll probably start a whole Sunil thread after this.
Oh, no. I love you all.
All righty. Have a good Geek Week, everybody.
Go be well.
Bye-bye.
Be well.
Comic-Con.
Out.